My Bridge Radio, that is Lauren Daigle, Light of the World. Good morning. Thanks for being with Stan and me on this Wednesday. You know, we have talked with Marilee Bradley about a number of different topics related to families during the past year, and we are going to be doing that again this morning on The Conversation. Marilee, thanks for being with us once again today.
I'm so glad I get to be here with you today.
Well, Marilee, welcome back after baby number, 12, 13?
Who can say?
I lose track. I mean, come on. How many kids do you have now anyway?
This is baby six. Yes, we welcome baby six at the beginning of October.
You know, after two, I hear, you know, it doesn't really matter anymore. So you're really taking that literally, right? You're like, it doesn't matter anymore.
We're outnumbered. Yes, two was hard, three was harder, and after that, you barely notice it.
I will take your word for it. That's awesome. So how's it going?
So good. He's been doing great. Big, fat, happy baby, and the other kids all love him, and it's been a really sweet time.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, I have to say, Marilee, one thing I really appreciate about you, I remember hearing this pastor talk years ago, and he was talking about how, you know, he would work with ministries like Campus Crusade or Youth for Christ or FCA, whatever, and he'd deal with these college gals and guys, but he was kind of focused on gals who just were really going for Christ when they were in college. And then they'd have what he called the monkey of responsibility as they grew older and got married and had kids. The monkey of responsibility would jump on their back and they would not be running for Christ anymore, you know? And so what I really appreciate about you, Marilee, one of the things is, I mean, you got a big old monkey of responsibility, but you haven't let it jump on your back and stop your running for Christ. As a mom, I mean, you're busy and you're engaged and you're investing deeply in your family, but you're doing it in a Christ-centered way. And you're still saying, God, whatever little windows I have, I'm willing to be used in other ways as well. So thank you for serving faithfully our God and being, to me, a great example.
Well, I so appreciate that. I sure don't feel perfect about that anytime, most days, any days, but I know that's my heart. My heart is to serve God with my family, with my mothering, with whatever it is that I'm doing.
Amen.
It's Travis Cottrell along with Natalie Grant. Ring the bells. Great to have you along with Stan and me on your Wednesday morning. Today we are visiting with Marilee Bradley from Lincoln. Marilee is a mom of six young children.
So Marilee, Merry Christmas season to you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I thought we would just talk about kind of all things Christmas season-y.
Well, that sounds great. My kids, all they're talking about is Christmas anyway. So this will just be a continuing on a theme of my life right now.
Yeah. All right. So give us, first of all, just as you think about maybe holidays in general, maybe this time of year specifically. Give us some perspective on holidays.
Oh, they're a beautiful time to be intentional. I think especially in my life, as you were mentioning, there is a big monkey of responsibility going on here. It's really easy for me to go through the same routines day after day. You get up, you make the oatmeal, you change somebody, you feed somebody, you put somebody down for a nap. And holidays are such a great break from that for us to have some kind of intentional time to be focused on an area of thanks or the resurrection or Jesus' birth, that we stop what we normally do to focus on something else.
Isn't it interesting, though, you talk about being intentional, but I know at least for me, if I'm not really, really, really careful, like because holidays come once a year, you know, a particular holiday, it can kind of sneak up on me, you know, and I have these good intentions on being more intentional the next year, and then all of a sudden it's here, and now time's short and all that kind of stuff. So what have you found helpful in developing traditions for you?
I know in some ways kids make it so that holidays can't sneak up on you because they're talking about them. I think we've been talking about Christmas since May. There's no sneaking up of this particular holiday. But I have noticed that when Josh was five, we memorized Luke 2 together, Luke 2, 1 through 20. We went through the Christmas story, and we started that in August. It took that long from August to December to commit all those verses to memory. And it seems like, you know, the more kids I have, the harder it is to be intentional, to start early, to say, okay, now's the time where we're going to start learning a Christmas carol together or setting aside some time to do scripture memory. But I think for us, we've kind of got the touchstone that after Thanksgiving, okay, now's the time where we're for sure going to be intentional about talking about Christmas stuff with our kids.
And again, when you think about building traditions, that's what you do. You build them over time. And so you didn't say this, but I heard this in your answer. Where you are right now didn't happen in 1 year. I mean, 1 year you memorized this passage of scripture, and the next year year you added this piece, the next year you added this piece. So, you know, if you're listening this morning and you're going, man, we really don't have a lot that we do outside of just the cultural traditional things that we do this time of year, get together as family, bake a few cookies, give gifts, but we don't really have anything intentional, then don't get overwhelmed. Just add one fresh, meaningful thing this year and then another one the next year.
Yes, and if the thing you did last year doesn't work this year, that's okay.
Right.
There's different things for different seasons of your family.
That is Seventh Time Down this morning on MyBridge Radio this Christmas. Thanks for being with Stan and me on this 17th of December. Merrily Bradley is our guest on the Morning Conversation today.
Merrily, we talked a few moments ago about traditions in general. Let's talk about Christmas specific now. In the culture that we live in, it's not a Christ-centered culture. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there's been efforts to take the name Christ out of Christmas. What are some ways that you've been intentional with your family to help keep Christ at the center of your Christmases?
For our family, I think the focus has been on saying that this is a birthday party because our kids understand birthday parties.
Right.
And so what do we do for a birthday party? We have a big meal, and we have, in our family, we have a birthday cake for Jesus, and we have presents. And that's what Christmas looks like for us. And so it also means we have a lot of little nativity sets kind of around our house in different places and things that are available to the kids. It's not just the one that you put up high that's for show, but the ones that are down low for them to reenact that, to play that story, to really let that captivate their imagination.
You talked about earlier about memorizing scripture, this Christmas story as well at 1 year. Is that something you've continued with your kids as you've added kids?
It's something that I grew up doing as a child in my family. My mom always said, if you memorize Luke 2, 1 through 20, I'll give you $5. And now grandma says that to the grandkids. So they're motivated and they want to do it. And we try to do little chunks, and that's been something that's important to us. But I will definitely say it gets difficult the more kids there are to try and set aside that time to be intentional about scripture memory.
Well, as you're talking about the Christmas party, talk about the birthday cake. I thought that was a cool idea.
Yes, we love doing this. It's kind of, if you're familiar with the wordless book idea, it's kind of that idea in an edible form, which makes it even better. But there's different colors that represent different things. So there'll be a layer of, we use devil's food cake to talk about the sin in our life. And then there's a layer that you color red, and we talk about Jesus' blood. And then a layer that you color green, and you talk about the spiritual growth that happens when Jesus is in your life. You cover the whole thing in white frosting, talk about how Jesus has saved us from our sins and made us whiter than snow. And you put a candle on the top to represent the Holy Spirit. So then in our family, we'll cut up a slice for everybody, and then we'll take that light of the Holy Spirit and we'll pass it from person to person. Each kid gets a candle, which they love, their own little fire, the best thing all year. And then we sing happy birthday to Jesus, and they blow out their candles. But it's a great way to tell the story of Jesus from beginning and on, that we're not just celebrating a baby, but this is why that baby mattered for our family.
We're going to be continuing our conversation in just a few moments with Merrily. Right now, here is Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem by Stephen Curtis Chapman. That's Oceans by Hillsong United. Good to have you along with Stan and me on your Wednesday. Our guest today on the Morning Conversation, Merrily Bradley from Lincoln, is joining us to talk about all things Christmas.
Merrily, we've spoken this morning about traditions in general. We talked about Christmas traditions and how to keep Christ in Christmas with our families and specifically with our kids even. You know, in the midst of that, obviously there's still this real spirit of gift-getting that our kids respond to very strongly innately. So are there some things that you do to help your kids think about giving in the midst of this season where they're getting a lot of stuff?
Yeah, I think there's two ways we try and do that for them. One of them is we do a kind of toy purge before Christmas, because we know they're going to get new things, and we do not need more clutter in our lives. And it's a great time for them to think about what it is they could give to somebody else that they would appreciate, whether that's something that we're donating to the People City Mission. Or the other day, I even did this with Danny, because we were just getting to that point toy-wise. He had too many dinosaurs. And I said, you need to pick out three dinosaurs that you can give to your little cousin, who's just not quite two, but he would enjoy those kind of things. I thought Danny was going to pick out the three he didn't like the most, but instead he picked out his three three best favorite dinosaurs because these were going to his cousin. And it was the sweetest thing. But to kind of encourage them, we have so much. We need to be thinking about what we can share with other people that maybe aren't in that same position. And don't just give them the garbage. What would we want to give them that we know they would love? Hmm. And then something else we've done with our kids is to have them draw names of other kids within our family, and we give them a little $5 budget and take them somewhere where things are inexpensive and let them pick out a toy for a sibling. And they get so excited about that. They get excited about picking out the toy, buying it for them, hiding it from them, wrapping it, and then to give it and then to get something. Those little $5 toys or books or whatever are maybe the highlight of their whole Christmas.
I love both those ideas, Marilee. Both the toy purge, that's brilliant. Great idea. And then that one, even if it isn't right now their own money, just them having the experience of giving. And because it is a joy, right? I mean, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking truth there. And that's even for kids. And kids can experience this joy of giving as well.
MyBridge Radio, that's Jamie Grace, Born Tonight. Thanks for being with Stan and me this Wednesday morning. Marilee Bradley from Lincoln is a mom to six young children, and she's joining us on the conversation today to talk about Christmas at her home.
Marilee, we've talked a lot this morning about intentionality with our holidays and with our Christmases, and one thing I found over the years after I got married is, you know, the more intentions I had, the more I had to navigate those intentions conflicting with the intentions of parents and in-laws.
Yes.
So talk to us about, grandparents and their involvement with Christmases and how to do that in a way that honors them, but also allows you to honor your family's desire to celebrate Christmas in a very specific way.
Yes. Well, we've been thankful that for one side of our family, there's been a request. Can you tell us something the kids need clothing-wise, something educationally that would be beneficial for them, and then something fun? So each kid is getting three gifts, which seems very manageable. And there's also those practical gifts that they're getting along with something that would be fun for them. And then I think we've also had to do some intentional talking about what role Santa is going to play in our life. That's been something that we haven't done with our kids, but it's something that's been a part of family traditions from where we came from. So that's been a thing we've had to intentionally talk about, and now we have, instead of Santa Claus, we have Nana Claus and Papa Claus, which are what we will call the grandparents around Christmas time, and they love that, and that's great for our kids, too, to know this came from somebody special in our life.
That's cool. I thought I knew all your traditions. I didn't know that one. That's cool. I really like that a lot. That's really cool. And one of the things that you mentioned there, Marilee, that is so key is conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, don't just randomly let your intentions conflict with your extended family's intentions. Have conversations around it. You know, don't make assumptions.
Yes, and I would say something beautiful that happened when we were having these conversations is we were saying, you know, we don't want to do Santa Claus. We want our kids to know where gifts came from. And in that conversation, we heard a lot of wonderful things about who St. Nicholas was. So it was good as far as a conversation for us to be able to say, this is what we want to do. And then for us to also be able to hear another perspective and incorporate those other things into our family, too.
You know, because obviously, again, in the world, they're looking for all kinds of ways to make this holiday something other than Christ-centered.
Right.
And so you hear about Santa Claus, but you don't hear about the true St. Nicholas. What a great opportunity for families and Christ-centered families to say, let's kind of ride the momentum of the culture, but let's ride it towards this true, real person, St. Nicholas, and what he really represented.
Yes. If families are looking for resources, there's a great VeggieTale about St. Nicholas that our kids love watching, and it does a great job of explaining how St. Nicholas kind of became the idea of Santa Claus.
Come and worship. It's Bebo Norman this morning on MyBridge Radio. Thanks for being with Stan and me today. This morning we are visiting with Marilee Bradley from Lincoln with six young kids at home. She's joining us today to talk about what Christmas is like for her family.
Well, Marilee, we've talked a lot this morning of good times and family times and joy-filled times, but I'm sure for all of us, we know people who this time of year is really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Holidays are also a time of remembering those that we've lost, and some people recently. So I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that whole area, whether it's in your own life or maybe it's thoughts that you have about being sensitive to and aware of and ministering to those around you. This whole area of loss and sorrow in the midst of the joy during this time of year. Any thoughts about that?
For us, I can remember really sad Christmases when we were waiting for the gift of children. And I remember saying to Brian one Christmas, you know, the only thing I want, we always think about what we want at Christmas or making a Christmas list, the only thing I want is something I can't have, I can't make happen. I want to be a mom. And there was a huge grief in that, especially since Christmas does seem to be such a season that's centered around kids. I mean, along with being a time of gifts, we are literally celebrating the birth process. That's what the whole thing is about. Those images are everywhere. And that was a really painful time for us. So I don't know that I have great wisdom on how to make that less painful. I think it is painful, but I think our comfort is in knowing that God knows our pain and that there is redemption for that pain in knowing Jesus. So trying to reorient yourself around what really is the reason for Christmas, it's not just that baby. It's that God is making the sad things come untrue, that there's beauty at the end of this. So I think it's important not to try and push down that this is a sad time, but to set aside some time to be sad, to mourn and grieve the things that are lost in this season. And sometimes that means being very tactile. We had a miscarriage 2 months before Christmas, and so that was an especially sad time, thinking of how excited we would have been. So trying to be intentional about saying it's okay to be sad now. There's reasons to be sad, but there's also a reason for joy.
I like what you're saying there, Mary Lee. And one of the things, even in the midst of that, is the true Christmas story, while we make it a joy-filled thing, and it is because we know the end of the story, there's a lot of grief and pain in between Jesus's life and Jesus's death and resurrection, you know? So the Christmas story isn't all roses and smiles and parties, you know? So there is a connecting place for every person, no matter what they're experiencing this Christmas. Mm-hmm. The Christmas story has a connection point for you.
MyBridge Radio, Ellie Holcomb this morning on MyBridge Radio. Hope is alive. Thanks for being with Stan and me today. Marilee Bradley is our guest on The Conversation this morning. Marilee is a mom of 6 young children.
So Marilee, we've talked a lot about just this season, but one of the things that's true of this season is it's the end of the year also. So just curious on how you think about that, how you think about the end of the year, how you felt about this year maybe, or what do you do as far as reflecting on and trying to really kind of pull out of the richness of the year at the end of the year?
Oh, it's a sweet time to talk about the beautiful things that have happened and the things that have been challenging, to do that with our kids. But also for Brian and I, that's especially a time where we try to get together and think through, okay, what's working from this past year? What do we need to work on for next year? And that's been kind of our ritual together, is to have kind of a planning time. Maybe I should use more romantic words. The two of us will sit down and look deeply into each other's eyes and say, what do we need to fix for next year? But I think it is a good time to kind of evaluate what's going on. I am very anti-New Year's resolutions, just because I hate failing, and I feel like they just set me up for failure every year. So I try not to be too specific about, now this is how I'm going to live my life from here on out, because that rarely ever works. But I think it is a good time to evaluate and kind of look back on where you've been over the last year.
Yeah, I think in the way that God made us, no matter what you think about New Year's resolutions or whatever, I mean, we're just hardwired according to seasons and time periods. And so when we get to the end of the year, I think we all, without even trying, reflect on the last year. And as we're entering into a new year, all of us, whether we're trying or not, reflect on hopes and thoughts and perspectives about the coming year, you know?
I found a really great plan online that was Bible reading for, I want to say it was Slackers and something else, but it's a great thing to start at the beginning of the year. It has a Bible reading for each day of the year, but it does not go chronologically, which is where I think I fall apart sometimes, because I will get so far through Genesis and then lose it. And I think, well, I can't pick back up in Genesis. So it's been a really great thing for me at the beginning of the year to think, okay, this is a time to start fresh and to find a particular plan where if I fall apart at some point in the year, I can pick back up without feeling like I'm overwhelmed with guilt, or I'm not even going to try, or I'm never going to get through the whole thing. But it's a good time to set aside a new routine for incorporating scripture reading in the way that works best for whatever season of life you're currently in.
Marilee, I want to thank you for visiting with us today. You've given us a lot of great ideas, a lot of good things to think about with the Christmas season here. Appreciate that so much. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for joining us.
Merry Christmas.